Are you ready for the word this morning?
Yeah.
I'm really excited. We've got Pastor Ben Kent is going to be bringing the word today. Him and his family have joined us after coming back from Long Reach at the end of last year, and he just has this awesome, unique way of presenting God's word. So why don't we stand to our feet and really honor the word of God, but honor Pastor Ben as he comes this morning to share as well. Give him a warm welcome.
Yep.
Okay. Rob will turn you up.
Alrighty. So yeah, thank you. Be seated, please. Just thank you for the opportunity, Jeremy, for sharing today. It's really an honour to share God's word with you. I just want us to turn, if you have your Bibles, to Revelation chapter 3. Last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. I want to read two little parts of this chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing, but Revelation 3. Verse 7 and 8, and we're going to look at Revelation 3, verse 20 and 22. Let's pray together and ask God to speak to us. Lord, we just come before you with expectation. Lord, I ask you to remove religiosity from us. Just low expectation. I ask you to remove it from us, Holy Spirit. I ask you to speak to us as only you can. This is your church, Lord. We take our hands off it. Lord, this is your bride. We take our hands off it, our agendas, our preconceived ideas, and even your word, Lord, we come with fresh eyes. And I pray for fresh eyes and our soft hearts today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Revelation 3 is one of the letters to, well, it involves two churches, but it's one chapter and a couple of chapters worth of seven letters to seven churches. And it's always worth remembering that these seven letters is prophetic, so it actually carries through the ages as well. So he's speaking to that church, but he's speaking to this church, if we can receive that. So Revelation 3, verse 7, Jesus speaking, and it says, "To the angel in the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy," that's Jesus, "he who is true," Jesus, "he who has the key of David," Jesus, "he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens, only Jesus. I know your works," he says. "See, I have set before you an open door." Everyone say, "open door."
Open door.
"And no one can shut. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." And skipping down to verse 20, Jesus again, he's speaking to the faithful church. Now he's speaking to the Laodicean or the lukewarm church. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And I pray we've received today. So Jeremy has alluded to the transitional time for Vineyard Church, stepping into a fresh focus on soul winning and disciple making. And I just want to share to you today from the subject called doors. And I believe it'll help us to transition into that and help us to embrace that future to be a soul winning and a disciple making church.
Amen.
We'll do well to accept together in life that there are, in God, open doors and shut doors. If you're following God and you're a child of God, you know that an open door is a good door.
Yeah.
But you also know that a shut door is a good door. Yes is good from God, and no is good from God.
Yeah.
A nod is good from God, and a shaking of the head is good from God. And as a parent, we're not perfect parents. I'm sure there's some of you here that are, but I realise that in parenting, you need just about as many no's as you need yeses.
Yeah.
Your kids actually need not just a nod for everything, they need a shaking of the head. They need a no. So a no is not negative. It's actually a blessing. And God says there's open doors and there's shut doors. And it'll do us well every time there is a shut door in our lives to thank the Lord for that shut door. Although it might feel like a disappointment, or a negative thing. In God, we know a shut door is never negative, is it? It never is. So a door, let's just define together the basic function of a door. So just think about any door. You didn't think about it when you came through a door this morning, most likely. But a door or a doorway, any door, is a place of transition. You come from outside to inside. It's a place that separates one room from another. A door by nature, by definition, is a place where you translate from one room to the next. It has a purpose. Doors don't just look good. Say next time you observe your house, it would look a bit strange without a door, but it's not just there for looks. It's actually there so you can get in. And you say you can get out. It has a purpose, and that is the purpose of access. We went to Dreamworld last year. It was the beginning of last year, I believe. And it's sort of a fun place. We went earlier, it wasn't overcrowded, which we were thankful for, so we went in with our family, with another family as well. And we went in there and we were just prepared to, you know, deal with the lines, etc. And you get in, you don't know which way to go first. And so we saw one ride pretty well straight there, and there was no line much. There might have been a couple of people. And we thought, well, let's kick some goals straight away before we get the food or whatever you've got to do. So let's just go. And so we thought, this will be quick. And so we line up and there's a door. And we expected that as a family we were going to go through that door and be transitioned straight onto the ride, which was like a virtual reality ride. But we went from outside with high expectation. We translated through the door and we walked into a room full of poor patient souls waiting behind another door. And we were translated from high expectation to, what a stinking trick. Here we are, waiting again to get into the ride, just to get queasy, you know. I never thought a virtual reality ride would make you queasy, but it did. So we eventually got to the door that, behind that door was the promise of feeling queasy. So we're very thankful to get to the ride. Isn't it true though, doors can produce in us an anticipation?
Yes.
They should produce in us an anticipation. Of course, when it's not a special door, you go in and out all day, we don't think about it, but a door actually by nature defines a separation from one room to another. And it can separate experiences, it can separate different perspectives. Most of you know we're in Longreach for a few years, and so on a 43-degree day, when you come to the automatic door at IGA, there's a strange thing that happens. You don't just move from outside to inside, although you do. You move from cooking like a dog to chilling like a cat. You go from 43 degrees to 23 degrees, and it's like, oh my goodness, 20 degrees is a lot. You go from cooking to chilling, and it's the door that facilitated that. The door, that special door that held the cool in and keeps the heat out. And let's not pick on Longreach too much. We can talk about Stanthorpe on a 3-degree day, sleep sideways, chill factor of -3. You're walking downtown and there comes one of those blessed doors. You walk through it and you're translated from freezing to beautifully warm. And isn't it strange how it can be 3 degrees outside and you're freezing, 23 degrees inside and you're warm, 43 degrees in Longreach and you're hot, and 23 is cool. That's wild. How fickle are we? 23 feels cool on one day, and it feels toasty on the other. I think it's something to think about, how fickle we are as humans. We think 23 is cool when it's hot, and 23 is warm when it's cold. But let's think today about the power of what a door is. A door is a transitional agent. It actually translates us from one experience to the next. Doors keep the cold out, but they also hold the heat in. doors keep the heat out, but they hold the cool in. A door is like a portal. It's a place that we can be translated into a whole new experience. Atmospheres can be different behind a door. Maybe you have accidentally walked into a room where there's conversation happening between two or three parties, and it's not very chilled. It might be a difficult conversation. And you walk into that room, on the other side of the door, you were singing and skipping, and then you go into that room, and you feel like there's a resistance, there's a tension in the air. How many of you felt that? It's hard to define, but there can be a different atmosphere behind a door when you walk into it. Vice versa, you can be outside of one room and walk into the next, and it's accepting, and it's warm, and it's easy to walk into. So we know this is true, that when you're translated from one place to another through a door, we experience a whole different atmosphere. It's very popular today to have open plan living, and so we do at home. The dining room and the living room's all open, but we still have doors in our house. So there's a door on the toilet. Haven't even known it's a good idea. Door on the toilet, door in the bathroom, door in the bedrooms, door in the laundry. There are times where you need a door to separate one purpose from another. And so our kids always use the door. Well, I hope they continue to use the door. We don't smile when they do try and go through a wall. But we use doors to go from one purpose to the next. Every room has its purpose. And so let's cross over today to the realities that we are here for. You are not here to visit a building. You're not here to shake hands and pat each other on the back for trying to be good this week. We're part of a spiritual journey in the kingdom with spiritual realities, and everything we see in this world, including the door you came through this morning, has a parallel meaning. It has a parallel revelation that will do us well to understand and receive. The ultimate reality is behind what we see. So we come, we see each other, we see the physical building, you're hopped in a physical car, you're walking around in a physical body, but everything that we don't see is even more real than what we do see. And so just like there's doors that we translate through in life, there are doors in the spirit as well. And I pray that we would get some insight today to some of these doors. There's more here to cover than we'll be able to touch on today. But there's a couple of doors I just want to talk to that will be relevant to you, and helpful to you, and to me, to us, to understand what they are, and receive and walk into what God would have us each one to walk into. So a natural door, I think we've labored on it enough, is a place of transition. A spirit door is a place of transition. A natural door takes us from one room to another. A spirit door takes us from one realm to another, or one reality to another, or one revelation to another. How many of you know there are doors in God that we must walk through if we want to receive all that He has for us? There are different realms and revelations and understandings. So the first door I want to talk to you today about is the greatest door of all. And it won't come as any surprise when we unpack this, but it is the greatest door in the spirit that we would ever perceive or understand. John 10 verses 7 and 9, Jesus speaking again. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And in verse 9 again, he labors, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus said, "I am the door." He is the separator between light and dark. He is the separator between the temporal and the eternal. He is the separator between good and evil. He is the separator between grace and judgment. He is the one that translates us one to the other. There is no other way. He is the line in the sand. He is the difference between dark and night. He is Jesus. He said, "I am the door." There is no other door. There will be people that will try and tell you there is another way. There is a different way. You don't have to go through the door. But Jesus makes it very hard to misunderstand. He says, I am the door and there is no other. Don't let anyone ever tell you there's a back door, there's a side door, there's a secret door. His name is Jesus and he is the door.
Yeah, that's good.
He is the only way for you to step from death to life. He is the only way to step from hopelessness to hope. Every other hope apart from Christ is false hope. It's fluff. It will lead you nowhere good. It will trick you and deceive you, and in the end, lead you to hell. Christ is the Lord. There is no other.
Hallelujah.
I am the door, he said. Don't let anyone ever deceive you. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life.
Amen.
He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Tell your family, only Jesus. Tell your friends, only Jesus. Don't let them be deceived. We do well to tell our friends and those that we love, the people that we might meet who might be deceived to think there is other doors, or just being a conservative is enough, and it's a popular thing, do-goodism. This idea you can hang around the door and you'll be right. You can't hang around the door and loiter around the door and chill around the door and pretend you're close to the door. You can't do that and be saved. You must go through the door.
Yeah.
You must enter into the door. You must be translated from the outside to the inside. Christianity is not something you hang around. It's something, someone you enter into. And his name is Jesus. We must enter in. There's no transition from death to life without Jesus. We must enter into relationship, into surrender, into his will, and into his purpose. When we enter Jesus, we enter a whole new reality. And I want us to realize that we've entered a new reality. I think some of us are so tricked. We think Christianity is just this bit of a thing you hang around and you try your best and you do your best and you try to follow the rules. That's a rip-off, second-hand, counterfeit gospel.
Amen.
God wants us to enter into a brand new life. It's an entrance. Just think of the door again. You enter one realm and you enter the next. It's a translation of your whole being into another realm and reality. Think about Jesus when he came to earth as a man. He entered the portal, if you were, the doorway of a woman's womb. He came from eternity. He's always been, and he always is. Boggles my mind. He came from eternity, but manifested himself as a child through a woman's womb. He entered into the life of a human. He lived that life. He showed forth the miracles, the power of God. He was crucified. He rose again and he died. When he entered this life, everything changed. The world changed. The calendar got split in two. We have AD, BC. We have then and now. We have before and after. Christ changed everything when he went through the door. And it's the same for us as well. May we not be deceived to think that, oh, for them everything changed, but not for me. Christianity is not something we just hang around and expect things will go on as they will. Christianity is a brand new life. And Jesus paid full price for each of us to have a full life. So when we enter him, just like he changed everything, he wants everything in us and in our world to change. We enter Christ and we enter a brand new reality. You'll know this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is. He is. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's present. That's present tense. You have entered Christ. And I want us to wake up today to the value of what salvation is. You have entered a brand new room. Some of us have never really realized this. There's been just like a bit of a, oh, a I'm saved, and then you just go about your business. Don't ever let yourself be deceived to thinking things go on as normal. They don't. They shouldn't. We enter him, we should be expectant and looking for something new, something different, something powerful. So can I ask you to stir your expectation today? If you've said yes to Jesus, if you've gone through the door, start looking about for what God is doing that is outside of the norm, because he's up to something. There is a new reality that he wants us to be quickened to. So we step by faith into a new reality. Yes, you're still in the same body. Yes, you're still struggling with the flesh. Yes, you still get tired. Yes, it's still hard. But the spirit reality is that everything is different now. You're an eternal being, and God wants us to quicken to that and not just live as temporal beings. Colossians 3, verse 3, it says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." That's what happens when you went through the door. You're undercover. You're actually a secret agent. "For you died and your life is now hidden." That's the picture of going into Christ. He's that big that he could cover you from everyone and everything. Next time you think the devil is tracking you down, just remember your life is hidden with Christ in God. Yes, the enemy can see you. He knows what you're up to, but he cannot really touch you because your life's hidden. God's got you. You're safe. We walk into the door, we walk into protection. We walk into the door, we walk into the ark. The door is the type of the ark. The door is open. We walk through the door, we're on the ark, we're saved from judgment, we're saved from God's wrath. We go into him, we no longer have to fear judgment. We no longer have to live in shame and guilt because our lives are hidden with Christ in God. I want to ask that none of us would just passively accept that second-rate, second-hand gospel that is somehow that salvation is like a ticket you carry around in your pocket, waiting for one day when you'll meet Peter at the gates behind all the other people, and you'll be holding the ticket, and you'll show it, and in you'll go because you have the ticket to get in. That is so far second-rate Christianity. That is not the gospel, church. That is not the gospel. When you park it, we think we enter. When you said yes, you've entered. Yes. When you said yes, you've already entered. Right. You are an eternal being, and you have the opportunity to live as an eternal being now, even in the temporal body. So let's throw away this idea we've got a ticket. Forget it. You are a child of God because he's covered you and hidden you in himself. And you are an eternal being that should have an eternal expectation about making a difference in this temporal world. So church, let's not wait. Let's step in and let's have our eyes open to the reality of being hidden in Christ and the wonderful blessing that it is. So the Bible very clearly outlines the benefits of this new room. And this new realm and this new revelation, and it is now. Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20 says, "Having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh." His veil is like a door. We enter him, and when do we do it? We do it now. We walk boldly into this new and living way. Once again, Jesus did not come to invent the best religion out of the top three that we should follow along. No, we enter Christ, we enter grace, we enter health, we enter wholeness, we enter hope, we enter healing, we enter victory, we enter the joy that is ours by faith, even now. Just coming back to that idea of Jesus being the door of the ark, and I don't know where everyone is at today, but the door of Christ the Lord, the Saviour, is open today. And you can just step through. You don't have to have a ticket before you come. You just say, "Yes, Jesus, I recognise you are the way and I'm coming in." That door is still open. The age of grace is still there. But one day, make no mistake, the ark door will shut and it'll be over. There will be no second door, there's no combination key, there's no other way, there's no back door, trap door, any other door. Only Jesus, only now. Hebrews says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Recognize Christ, walk to Christ, enter Christ. It's that simple. Come into him and be saved. So he is the door. I think we've made that clear today. He is the door. There is no other. But I want to move to something I think we often miss. And that's another door. It's a smaller door. It's a secondary door. But it is oh so significant. So significant. So the door is Christ. That's the macro. He is the door. There is no other door. But then there's a smaller door. And I want to talk about that for a moment. That's the micro. So we enter Christ, we come into him. But we've all heard this before, that Christ is in me. So we enter him like the ark, and he's covered us, delivered us from judgment. But there's another door, and that's the door of who we are, that God wants to enter into us. In Colossians, it talks about Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've just talked about us in Christ, the hope of deliverance from judgment. But then it talks in Colossians 1, verse 17, that Christ is in us also, which is the hope of glory. The macro, you're hidden in him. The micro is that Jesus wants to come into you. And this is where it gets interesting. The mystery is that it's not automatic. I'm not saying that Christ is not in you, but there's limited ways that he's in each of us. I think some of us is just under our skin, to use an analogy. He's not in the deepest place. He's not in the central place of our life. He's actually in us, but he's limited. So we've entered him, but we've neglected to talk much about him entering us. And I want to touch on that today, and I pray that we'd be quickened as well to understand that there is another door. Your soul has a door. Your being has a door. I think it's got many doors. I think we're that complex, we've got lots of rooms, just like your house. Maybe you've got a mansion with 15 rooms. We've got 5, 6, count the office. Lots of rooms. Your soul is complex. And Jesus wants to have access to every room of your heart. Every single room. Every room he wants to have access to. But understand this about Jesus. He is a gentleman. He's not a dictator. He's a gentleman. He's not a bully. He's a gentleman. He's not someone who'll come and push and barge and make it happen. He's a gentleman that asks access to the rooms of our life. And this is, I think, where it gets profoundly difficult for us to navigate the way forward in God, because we neglect to recognize that this is part of the salvation process. It's not over when you enter the ark. It is over because you're saved, but it's not over because the transformation process hasn't happened. The transformation process happens primarily when we allow Jesus into us. Yes, we've entered him, but now he asks, can I come in to you? Can I enter into the deepest parts of who you are then? And I've got scripture to back this up in case you think we're making it up. Revelation 3, verse 20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I want to just read that again. Let's really soak in this today. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. It's well known that when you eat with someone, it's a sign of friendship and intimacy. Often intimate conversations happen over a meal. Jesus is speaking here about a different door. He's speaking here about the door that we've just alluded to. This is so profound. When I first saw this, I could hardly digest it. But here we have the door. We just talked about him. His name is Jesus. We have the door standing at our door asking to come in. The door who we are in standing at our door who is not in asking to come in. What about the layers here? Let's not skip over this. The door who is Christ is outside the door who is us. And I think people have misunderstood this verse. It's not a door toward unbelievers. This is not the door to an unbeliever. This is the door, ready for it, this is the door to his church. This is the door to his saints. Here we have the Saviour of the world, the Saviour of the church. He's outside his body, he's outside his building, he's outside of his bride, he's outside of the saints, and he's knocking and saying, can I come in? Whoa, that's it. That's wild, isn't it? The gentleman that he is, could he knock the walls down? 100%. The flick of his finger. But the gentleman that he is, he says, can I come in? And let's not overlook who this letter is to. It's to the, there's a bit of a hint here, it's to the lukewarm church. That's heavy, that's hard, that's a bit rough. It's to the lukewarm church. And Jesus is somehow outside. He's just addressed the faithful church, and he's got a lot of disciplines for the upper church, but this is the lukewarm church. Perhaps the most dangerous state to be in is the lukewarm. In fact, Jesus had the hardest comments to make to the lukewarmers. And so here he is, the door, outside the door, knocking to see if he can come in. What is the door? The door that they're holding him out of. It's the door of intimacy. It's the door of surrender. It's the door of lordship. Jesus is not just Saviour, he is also, you know this, he's not just Saviour, he is also Lord. It's two-part. So we enter him, Saviour, he enters us, Lord. Once again, we enter him, Saviour, covered, ark, grace, deliverance from the wrath of God. He enters us. That's the lordship part, church. We're talking about lordship here, and this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where transformation happens. You can be saved for 70 years and still be an absolute child, an infant, a babe, still in nappies. It's just not much Christ-likeness at all. That's a picture of someone in Christ, but Christ has never entered them. And so God is challenging each of us to recognize the doors. Well done, you've seen who Jesus is, the door. Now let's move on and recognize we have a door. Each one of us, church, has a responsibility to hear the knock of Christ and open that door so he can come in. And so he can dine with us. So he can speak to us. Haven't heard God for a while? Well, maybe your door's shut. Are you hiding in the bathroom? Are you hiding in the basement? Are you just blocked off and you don't even know it? I guarantee you, if you haven't heard God for a while, somehow there's a door. There's a door. And Jesus, and I pray we would hear him today, he's knocking on that door and he's asking, can I come in? The gentleman that he is, can I come in? Dine with you, and sit with you, and minister to you, and deliver you, and set you free, and help you to be the person you are called to be. The definition of frustration, trying to do Christianity in your own strength. I've done it. And sometimes I'm still tricked into doing it. That's a definition of frustration. Do-goodism without the good Saviour doing the work. He must come in. He must come in. Remember who Jesus is. Oh, I can't stop thinking about what a gentleman he is. Remember, he can open and shut any door he likes. This whole world, he can shut Russia down. He can open America up. He can shut Iraq down, he can open Israel up, he can do whatever he likes with his angels, but yet he's allowed himself to be restricted to open your door. That's wild, isn't it? That's wild. He's restricted himself. It reminds me in the Gospels, it's Mark chapter 6, where Jesus could do no mighty works except heal a few sick people because of the unbelief. The attitude of the heart of the believer restricts the will of God. The attitude of the heart of the believer restricts the purposes of God. The attitude of the heart of a believer limits what God would do in a heartbeat. His church, his people, his body, his building, his bride, his saints, it's us. We are the church and we have the door that he wants to enter. So Revelation 3 verse 20, as we've said, is to the lukewarm church. And I'm not saying we are lukewarm, you're lukewarm, but let's do a little test, maybe in private, to see how hot we actually are. To see if we are hot, or whether we're cold, or whether we're lukewarm. This is a test that each of us can do. And let's receive this as it is from Jesus' mouth. I hope we all realise there's two yeses to salvation. I just want to bring it to a close today. That there are two yeses. The first yes is not hard. It's simply something like, I mean, you can do that, eh? You're scared, you're afraid, you're depressed, you're anxious, you're broke, you're lonely, you're upset, you're sick. That's easy. That's the first yes. But the second yes is where it's at, church. The second yes is where things really happen in this temporal realm. The second yes is surrender. The second yes is abandonment. The second yes is where transformation happens in your life, in your family's life, in the community around us. The second yes. Justification is the first yes. Sanctification is the second yes. Transformation is the second yes. Let's honestly and humbly admit that the words of Jesus are not there just to entertain us. He says here in Revelation to the lukewarm church, Revelation 3:16. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's wild. Because you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This lines up exactly with what we've been saying. They were in him already, because how can you vomit something out if it's not already in? So they were in Christ. They were hidden in him, and Jesus is saying, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out. They were in Christ, but they haven't invited Christ to dwell and move in them. He knocks as Lord, not as Saviour. He knocks as Lord. He wants to come in as Lord, not as Saviour. We're knocking down his door often to be saved, and he's knocking on our door to be Lord. It's funny the reversal that happens. We're scared out of our wits. Save me, save me, save me. We're knocking, bashing on the door, and Jesus says, come in. Come in. You're hidden with me. The devil can't get you. Just chill. Stop shaking. Stop crying. You can come out of the fetal position now. We're knocking on that door. We want to get in, and he opens it up. But then the whole rest of our life, he's just patiently knocking on our door. He says, can I be Lord? Can I actually be Lord as well? And I don't know how far each of us get with this. And I'm convinced there's still doors in my life that are shut, rusty, and unable at this stage to be opened. But Jesus will continue to knock, and my ability to hear that knock and open that door will dictate to me how far I get in him and demonstrate his glory and power on earth. God wants to demonstrate who he is to the world. But can he do it without you? No, he can't. Without your permission, he's limited himself. He is 100% sovereign, but somehow, mysteriously, he has said, I want to cooperate with my church. I want them to buy in. I want them to participate with me. So church, can you hear his knock? Can you open that door and ask him in to the innermost place, to the central part, to that place of our lives where he wants to dwell and move and make a change? So the reason I wanted to talk about doors leading into winning souls and making disciples is that to win souls, you've actually got to be a winning soul. I reckon it helps. It's very hard to win souls if you're just doing Christianity. I think it's a lot easier to win souls if Christ is manifesting his life through you. So to win, to be a winning soul, you've actually got to open the door to his lordship and let him in. And then the action really starts to happen. And I reckon it's a good idea to make disciples. We should probably be disciples, would you agree? It helps a lot. It's a lot of hard work making disciples if you're not a disciple. And how do you be a disciple? You just got to open the door to his lordship and let him move in. Let him take charge. Let him not boss you around, but let him speak to you directly and help you to make good decisions. So church, if we want to be soul winning, disciple making, we must open the door to his lordship. We must open the door to his lordship and make sure we're not a rusty old door that's never going to open, never will. I don't know how many people in town are in Christ. There's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are in Christ in town. That's my estimation. But how many people have Christ in them manifesting and moving? How many? That's a good question. That's a great question. Because we have enough people in Christ in town to turn town inside out. I guarantee you, all it takes is this little handful here. Transformation. There's enough people in Christ, but how many people are manifesting Christ in them? That's what I want to ask you to leave with you today.
Yeah.
Is he manifesting his life through us? And that will only happen. That will only happen when we give him permission. It won't happen before. It's just not going to happen. You can pray all you like for the fog to roll in, for revival to hit. But if we won't open the door to his lordship, just forget it. Would you stand with me, church? We're going to pray. We're going to ask Jesus, if you're willing. If you're willing to be Saviour and Lord. Saviour and Lord. I don't know where you're at today, but if you've said, Jesus, save me, that's great, fantastic. And if you haven't, say it right now. And it's just so simple. I think I alluded to it before. Just say that. Help. 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 That's all Peter said. He was going down. Help. Help. I'm drowning. I know I'm going to be judged. Help. Save me. Save me. Save me. And he will. And he has. You've entered him. Great step. But now, let's hear his knock and open the door of our hearts for his lordship. Might need a bit of oil, that's what the Holy Spirit's for. That door is that rusty, it's been shut all your life. Yes, you're a Christian, yes, you're in Christ, but some of those doors in our hearts will never open. You need some oil. Oil the hinges so the door can open. Jesus wants to come in. So can I ask you honestly and openly today, to ask him in your own words, Jesus, be my Lord, come in, sit with me, dine with me, dwell with me, speak to me. Heal me, transform me, translate me, empower me, renew me, save me, spirit, soul, and body. Save me, spirit, soul, and body. Forgive me for hanging on to salvation as a ticket. Lord Jesus, I recognize you are a Lord and you want to come into the deepest parts of my heart. Just speak to God today in his presence right now. Jesus, you are Lord. I give you permission to take charge today. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your lordship. Lord, I bless you, people. I pray that we indeed would be disciples as we give you permission to be Lord in our lives. Reign and rule in your church. Lord, be glorified, be magnified, be lifted high. bless you today. Yield to your lordship. I pray each person would be empowered today to know your sweet presence. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you. Thanks, Jeremy.
So good. I just think the Holy Spirit has been all over today's meeting. Literally from the moment when Jody pulled up a song and was obedient to what the Holy Spirit was saying, getting people released from anxiety, worry, and fear, so that then we receive this amazing word that it's not just about, you know, us being in Christ, but Christ being in us. And then we can truly be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community when we let Him through that door. So Holy Spirit, seal that word in our hearts today. Lord, we thank you for it. God, may we be your hands and feet in this community, or wherever we find our feet leading us. May we be an example to others, and may we lead people to the door where they can learn about being in Christ and what that means and having Christ in them. Help us with words of wisdom. Help us with boldness. Help us with opening doors of opportunity, that we may be your hands and feet and lead people to come to know you in a powerful way. Help us to be soul winners and disciple makers in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Can we thank God for a great word today? And Pastor Ben. Thank Pastor Ben. Brilliant word. Thanks for sharing from your heart today. We've got some awesome morning tea time, so don't race off. This is one of the best parts of church, is fellowship and mingling together. Say hello to someone you don't know, and we look forward to seeing you across the week or in church next Sunday. Say hello to a million. Yeah. Bless you, everyone.